Join us for the Sharks NHL Draft Party on June 28th at 3 p.m. Witness the Sharks select number one overall for the first time in franchise history and celebrate the team's future with fellow Sharks fans. Don't miss out on experiencing this historic event with an electrifying atmosphere at SAP Center by securing your tickets today at sjsharks.com/thefutureisteal. That's sjsharks.com/thefutureisteal.
He scores! Score! Score!
The San Jose Sharks proudly present Sharks Hockey Digest. Here's your host, Dan Ruzanowski.
Regardless of whether you're in the playoffs challenging for a Stanley Cup or if you're in the stages of a rebuilding program to get back to the postseason, having dedicated, experienced, and motivated professionals in your lineup is of prime importance. As the San Jose Sharks make their way through the building process, it must be noted that it's a real luxury to have a Stanley Cup champion on your list of active players. One of the players on the Sharks roster with that very credential is none other than center Nico Sturm. A Stanley Cup champion with the Colorado Avalanche in 2022, Sturm joined the Sharks as a free agent and promptly scored a career-best 14 goals in his first season wearing teal. However, this past season, he only scored 5 times. And as he looked back at what happened during the year, he was characteristically matter-of-fact when analyzing his and his team's performance.
It was bad. It was really bad, I think. The first thing we have to do in order to get better is be honest with ourselves. I thought, you know, last year we obviously had a bad season, but I thought for the most part, at least up until the trade deadline, we were competitive. And then after the season, my goal for this year was to stay, you know, in the playoff hunt as long as possible, and I didn't expect us to make the playoffs, but I thought we're going to be more competitive than last year. And the reality is that we're worse than last year. And so you got to be honest about that. I think there were too many nights where we were not competitive. We got, you know, blown out. I think we lost double digits twice at home in a row. On the road, gave up 9 in Edmonton. So there was just way too many nights where we didn't look like we belonged on the ice with the other team, and that's the truth of it. And you have to address these things. You have to be honest with it. If you lie about it, if you think, oh, it wasn't that bad, that's not how it works. We're never going to get better. So it wasn't nearly good enough, and that's the truth of it.
Even though Nico was limited to 5 goals, the ones that he scored came in typical fashion at some of the most dramatic moments of the year. His first 2 goals came on December the 7th in the most improbable come-from-behind win in Detroit against the Red Wings. Down 4-0 in that game, Nico would score twice in the second period to get the Sharks closer to what turned out to be a stunning 6-5 overtime victory.
But now the Red Wings move back in. Penalty is over. On the ice comes Vlasic. Back to get it now. Vlasic's looking for the headman feed. Is he going to get it? He's got it. He's moving down the right-wing side. He's got Sturm in front. There's the play. They score! Nico Sturm from Mark Edward Vlasic. Vlasic out of the penalty box. Getting the headman pass. Coming in 2-on-1. Sturm reading the play. Getting a perfect feed. And now it's 4-3 with 4:08 to play in the second. Now it's knocked aside by the Red Wings. Sharks manage to keep it in play. And here comes Sturm. Could be a 2-on-1 on the right. Bailey back to Sturm in front. Score! Nico Sturm with a backhand shot just tied the game with 22.5 seconds left in the second period. This is incredible.
Off the draw, Red Wings skate on the attack. Zetterlund checks it away from Larkin, but Larkin's a great skater. He goes back to his own zone to get that loose puck. A headman feed, Raymond. He's played well tonight. Crosses the San Jose line, throws it across the rink. Wallman in deep, drops it back to the right point off the skate of Raymond. It's poked at by Zetterlund, and he's giving it a race. He might have a breakaway. He comes in, delayed penalty, throws it across. Granlund shoots, and he scores! Mikhail Granlund just won the game for the Sharks in the most spectacular comeback in many a year. The Sharks win 6-5 in overtime. Unfortunately, just a couple of games later, Nico went down with an injury that shelved him for 16 contests. It was a common theme to the Sharks' season, as San Jose didn't have all 4 of their projected centers on the ice at the same time at any point in the schedule. For Sturm, that was one of the more frustrating parts of the year.
I think for the coaches, probably they probably have a lineup, or the management, they probably have a lineup in mind in the summer when they trade for guys or they sign guys. And when you don't have the chance to play a single game in that constellation, I don't think we had one where all four of us played, right? So, yeah, it doesn't help. I think I've mentioned this before, especially in the center position. It's just such a hard position to play in the NHL. That's why you always see guys that have played centers all their lives in juniors, college, and then they come to the NHL and then they play on the wing, because it's a hard position to play in. And you can always slot in a winger for a couple of games, but it's hard to do it for 82 games. It's a man's game. You play against mostly in the circle. You play against the best players in the league. You got to play down low, 200-foot game. You're always underneath the goal line. So it's very taxing on the body to begin with. And so that's why I just think, you know, established centers in the NHL is just hard to replace, and to do it over like a prolonged stretch of games. And yeah, that hurt us, of course.
For the younger members of the Sharks, it was especially tough to develop in the atmosphere of a 19-win campaign. Sturm acknowledged that, and he says that he felt responsible for making sure that it didn't affect younger players like William Eklund as much as it could have.
Yes, that's why I said earlier, it's like you draft, you know, another top three pick or whatever this year. When they come in, and that's why I try to like force myself to come to the rink every day, because I didn't want to, you know, give any of the young guys the impression that it's, you know, that's okay to slip off. And that's very hard to do. I always say it's easy in September and October when everybody's feeling good, the body is good, and the standings don't matter so much yet. And it's much harder to do in January and February, especially when things are tough. So, like I said, bringing in that type of player that knows how to do that, with a little bit of experience maybe, and knows how to attack these problems. It's hard to be an NHL player. It is. 82 games is long. September till April is very long. How do you deal with the ups and downs? How do you kind of keep it even keel and do it every single day? It's very hard to do. And that's why I said I just try to force myself every day to be a good example for Ecky, for Boritz, for Z, for the young guys.
But it was tough on the veterans too, and Sturm said that they had to battle through it to stay motivated at times, which is understandable given the gravity of the situation.
First of all, I tried to find a good balance away from the rink. Obviously, we were lucky enough to be in California, so I tried to get as much outside time as possible, a lot of sun. Try to read, spend time with your support system, whether that's your kids, family, wife, whatever it is, and just try to reset every single day, and come to the rink the next day and do it all over. And it's, like I said, it's very hard to do, but also that's part of why I was signed here in the first place, and so it's my job to do that, and that's what I'm going to do and continue to do.
The trade of Tomas Hertl at the deadline in March seemed inevitable.
Yeah, I mean, Tommy was our best player, and that's the truth of it. And we're not stupid. We know when you trade away your best player, like players know what direction like we're going in. So like players read that; they're not oblivious to the fact that we're probably not going to be great the rest of the year if you're trade away your best player. And so all these small things, they all add up. And that's what I mean with like finding joy every single day is then it gets harder and harder with every single day of the season. And so yeah, obviously trading away Tommy, it was like one of those things. I understand why, I get why we did it, but it probably doesn't help like your outlook for the rest of the season, right, when you see stuff like that happen.
Through it all, Nico said that no one on the roster stopped trying, and they all maintained what the hockey world calls buy-in.
I will have to say that regardless of how difficult the situation was, I applaud the group for always coming here and working. That's the one thing I will not take away from the group, is that whether it be up in the weight room or on the ice, there was always a smile on everybody's face. And leadership group made sure that the working atmosphere is appropriate, even in the difficult situation. And like I said, it could have veered off the road very easily in the second half of the year, and we made sure that wasn't the case. So that's at least one thing I will give the group credit for.
In addition to that, Nico felt that the players fought through the temptation to allow losing to become acceptable. In his words, it never did.
Obviously, I can't speak for other players. I just think that if losing happens over like a prolonged period of time, like if you lose for 4 or 5 years, at some point, I think you're like, I'm not going to go home and be miserable every night. So then you don't take it home anymore, and you stop caring a little less every single day. And then at some point, it's just a job, you know, where things don't go well. I think so. If that happens over many years, I think that's hard to. It's hard to beat out of the system, I guess. Yeah, so that's why I always have like, fresh faces and guys that hasn't like sunk into every pore of their body that like losing is acceptable. Like you need to bring in those people.
You're listening to Sharks Hockey Digest on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
We're visiting with San Jose Sharks center Nico Sturm, who finished his second season in Teal in the spring of 2024. With all of his experience, Nico has a great perspective of what needs to be done to get the Sharks back to where they belong. He gave us a few thoughts as to what it's going to take for the club to climb up those standings.
At the end of the day, we each as individuals have to look in the mirror and have to be honest with ourselves if we did the best job that we could do. So, for management, it's that they put the best roster together that they could have. For coaching, did they coach us in a way that gave us the most success? Were there things that, they could have coached differently, tried a different system that would have maybe worked better? And for us players, it's, first of all, did I come to camp in a way that gave me the best opportunity for success? Did I do everything during the year to help out the team, or did I just collect my paycheck? Did I sleep right? Did I eat right? Did I come in on off days and do extra stuff? What did I do on the road? Did I go out the night before a game, or did I prepare to play the game? And so these are things, obviously the coaching stuff and the management stuff, I can't influence that, but as a player I can, influence all the other stuff that I just mentioned.
What's actually needed on the roster? Well, Nico has some ideas on that.
We need guys that can play. Like, there can be difference makers right away. And I think the other part, too, is with so many younger players coming into the organization this year, we had Eki sets, boards, trying to be established NHL players. And there's going to be a lot more young players coming in the next, 2 or 3 years. What type of culture are they coming into? Who are they going to learn from? And are they going to be coming into a losing culture where, you get blown out every night and they see how guys react after games and that it doesn't matter whether you win or lose in this league? Or they kind of come into a group where it's clear from day one that losing is not acceptable, and then that the season that we just had is not the standard that that we want as an organization. So then, again, that's obviously up to management to find those type of players in the off season. Yeah.
It's often said that Mike Greer is building a team that is going to be difficult to play against. Is that a quality that players or teams can learn together, or is it simply something that a player is born with?
I think it's probably a little mix of both. I think there's certain players in the league, they're like high-end skill, more like a free mind, like they just go with the flow a little bit more of the game, like they're never going to be that type of player. But the majority of the group, the core of the group, has to have that type of mentality. Especially, I think if you were a team that is looking to have success in the playoffs, because that's just how the game is played towards the end of the year. There's less and less room, and it's probably not so much about being 6'5" and 230 pounds. But I do think if you have the combination of being a decent-sized player and being a good skater, that it does help a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's just if you go into the corner and you have 30 pounds on the guy that you're going into the corner with, like, you have an advantage. That's just the reality of it.
Instead of playing in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Nico found another way to get some additional hockey in. He put on his country's jersey in the IIHF World Championships. Now, while it was a great experience and an honor to represent his country, Nico was fully focused on getting ready for the upcoming NHL season. He gave us an overview of his plans for the summer.
You know, I'll take a week or two, let the body recoup. Obviously, I had some minor injury stuff this year as well, and just let everything heal and then start getting after it, just like last year. And I think I came to camp probably the best shape I've ever been in, and that's going to be my goal again this year. Yeah.
Will the memory of the difficult year be on Nico's mind during the off season as he trains for the upcoming campaign?
Like I said before, I felt there were nights where I felt embarrassed as a hockey player, where I think every NHL team over the course of an 82-game season, there's a game or two where you get blown out. It's just normal. Like, it happens to every team, even the best team in the league. Yeah, there's a night where they give up 7 goals, so that's normal. But when it happens on like a weekly basis, then you don't feel particularly good about your own game. Like, there's not a lot of confidence or stuff you can take confidence from, and so you don't feel good about your own game anymore. And there were too many days probably or games where guys felt like they didn't want to put on their gear because it was not that they were scared, but they kind of, it's almost like anticipating what was happening, and then you almost had to drag yourself into the rink the next morning. And I mean, it's like, it's so mentally draining. Once you get to like January or February, there's nothing to play for standings wise. Like, I hate that. It's because then it's all about creating almost like a fake type of atmosphere to keep the spirits up, and like, it's not very authentic. It's not, you want to play for points, you want to play in big games, like the last 3 games of regular season, you have a chance to squeeze in the playoffs. Like, those are the types of games you want to be in, and it was mentally draining. It was very, very hard. Even for me, there were certainly days where I tried to do my routine every day. But even for me, there were some days where I really had to just force myself to come to the rink because it was hard playing for nothing.
In the final analysis, how much does Nico expect the Sharks roster to change?
A lot. I mean, we need a lot of change. I think if you come back with in the same constellation or 90% same constellation, I don't see how you would expect a much different result. So yeah.
Yes, the Sharks have some exciting young players joining the club in the coming year, and that's going to inject a jolt of enthusiasm and talent into the roster. But it's capable, reliable, highly professional veterans such as Nico Sturm who will prove invaluable in guiding these young players and the Sharks fan base back to the upper echelon of the NHL. Thanks for being with us today. For the Sharks Audio Network, I'm Dan Rusinowski.
You've been listening to Sharks Hockey Digest. This has been a presentation of the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.